Well, again, I want to welcome you to our services this morning. I do have something I'd like to say before I give the morning's message. I'd like just a moment of your time, not for a business meeting, but to make a statement regarding the Supreme Court's ruling on same-sex marriage. Now, I'm not going to revisit the details of God's Word on same-sex relationships. We know it is specifically listed among sexual sins that have tempted man since our creation. I do wish to address Calvary Missionary Baptist Church regarding our preparation for the coming storm that I believe will follow. Now that another sin has been legalized in America, there will be an uncontrollable overreach of special interest for its application. For example, same-sex marriage now is required in America. With that said, who will be required to officiate the ceremony? Who will be required to host the ceremony? Will there be an attempt to force churches to admit same-sex couples into relationships or face civil and criminal discrimination litigation? Many, if not all, of the individuals and groups supporting same-sex relationships also reject the Bible as inerrant and infallible. Therefore, an attack on the Bible is to some degree unavoidable. And as a matter of fact, I shared with a Sunday school class this morning an article I read from the Huffington Post yesterday that has already began suggesting an attack on the Bible. As your pastor, I am prayerfully seeking these questions in an effort to provide for our church the highest level of legal protection without introducing anything that hinders us from loving people and reaching them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Moving ahead, I'll be using the Supreme Court ruling to recommend protections for our church to the deacons and seeking their support in recommending them to you for inclusion into existing operational and administrative guidelines. I ask for your prayerful support and for your comments or your suggestions. Christianity is time to settle in. It's time to decide where you stand. It's time to get a firm footing. It's time to decide I will not be moved. I'm not talking about rebellion. I'm not talking about insurrection. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about deciding whether we're going to stand on the Word of God or whether we're not. And that has to come from the individual first, before it can come from any congregation. My prayers and my support are with you. I cherish them in my stand as well. With that said, turn with me in your Bible this morning to John chapter 5. John's Gospel, chapter 5, and we will begin looking at verse 31. John chapter 5, verse 31. The Word of God says, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light." May God add blessings to the reading of his word. Bow with me in prayer, please. Heavenly Father and Lord God, I bring before you today your written word. I ask that you would anoint it to touch hearts and lives. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would hide me behind the cross, that nothing is said and done this morning that glorifies, lifts me up or lifts anyone up, but only lifts up Jesus Christ. May your word not return unto you void, and may it accomplish everything you've purposed it to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, from the text, we find Jesus still teaching and still preaching his message that sprung from his correction of the Pharisees' tradition of the Sabbath. Now, if you've been here previously, you know we're preaching through the Gospel of John. Jesus upset a lot of the Pharisees when he healed a man on the Sabbath day. He had to correct them on how they were practicing the Sabbath. He had to correct them on their view of the Sabbath. And he did. And when he did, they attacked him. As a matter of fact, the Bible says they purposed it in their heart at that time to kill him. Well, Jesus is still preaching. He's still teaching. Over and over, we find Jesus correcting the false traditions that had developed over centuries of ungodly leadership in Israel. Now, don't misunderstand me. God loved Israel, and He still loves Israel. However, Scripture is very specific in pointing out that Israel constantly fell into spiritual apostasy and even idolatry. From Deuteronomy to Judges to Isaiah to Malachi, we read of Israel slipping backwards into ungodliness. So, today we see in the church those same struggles. Struggles with tradition. Let me explain. Most everything that is done in the church today has been handed down from previous generations, and we call that tradition. Okay? I can go along with that. As long as it's founded on Bible doctrine. As long as we're practicing Bible doctrine, I'm glad that it's handed down from generation to generation. But when we're talking about the ideas, the opinions, the thoughts, and the practices of man, and when they start becoming taught in the church as doctrine, we've crossed a line. We've crossed a very specific line that God has drawn. And we need to be aware of that. We need to be sensitive to it. Now, that may not sit well with some of you. But if you will allow God to work in your heart, you'll learn what this looks like. And you'll see that what's being told and taught from Scripture is sound. It is true. It is Bible. And you'll be able to see where man has influenced wrongly in cases, their views and their perceptions. And that brings us to repentance. Repentance is change. And any change that brings us closer to God and closer to the work that we're called to do for the Lord Jesus Christ is a good change. It's a change that matures us as a Christian. And every born-again child of God should have a desire in their heart to constantly grow and develop. Not be stagnant, but be growing and developing in our walk and in our work. So from our passage, we're going to learn the Christian who lives repentance, obedience, humility, compassion, and maturity, along with other characteristics of God's Word, becomes a witness of a follower of Jesus Christ. That's who the disciples are. We know the 12 apostles, but we see the word disciple used in Scripture too. Often the two are synonyms of one another, but there is a difference. The disciple is the born-again child of God in general. The apostles are those that were set apart to establish the work and the methods of the church and the development of the church. As born-again Christians, we are all disciples. And we ought to desire to follow Jesus Christ. To say I've been saved by faith through grace is wonderful. I hope everyone here today can say that. If you can't, you'll have the opportunity before the service is over. But understand, if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there should be a desire in your heart today to follow Him. Not follow man. Not follow some tradition of man. Not follow some direction of man. But follow the Son of God. Follow the Word of God. And do the work that's been established for us to do. So Jesus points out the witness of a follower. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. Now, I said that if you're saved, you should desire to be a follower. You should desire to practice it as well. I hope that desire is in your heart today. The Bible gives us a very specific look at the Christian. We see character, we see conviction, and we see concern. But we also see application. That gets personal. That gets personal for every one of us. How does it apply to your life? How does it apply to my life? How does it look? How does Christianity look? And how does it look to the world and those that are lost and undone? What does Jesus say about the witness of a follower? Three things I want us to take some time and recognize this morning. First, the witness of a follower is found in a truthful experience. Verses 31 through 33, we see the experience of a Christian, of a true born-again blood-bought child of God. Jesus says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Now, on a short reading of that, someone may say, huh? What Jesus is saying is that if I tell people and the people I tell about myself, they're going to doubt me because it's coming from me, even though I'm the Son of God. They're not going to accept me as the Son of God. They're not going to accept me on what I say. Now, it's funny, even Jesus had that problem. As a preacher and as a pastor, I talk to others and we all seem to share that same thing, that we start talking about Jesus and those that have grown up with us, those that knew us before we were saved, before we were right with God, before we were living for God. They all say, yeah, right, I remember you when. I remember this and I remember that. Or, hey, I don't agree with you on this, or I don't appreciate the way you handle that. They're always finding a way to doubt and discourage and misrepresent. But that's okay. Because all that it does is give an opportunity to live closer for God, live in a more rightful relationship with God. It gives me an opportunity to be repentant. A truthful experience of the follower of Jesus Christ is the experience of a repentant person. Now, I told you before, repentance is not a dirty word. Repentance should never be considered a bad word in the life of a Christian. As a matter of fact, if you're born again today and you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you should desire repentance on a daily basis. It ought to be something that you're hungry for. You shouldn't want to go to bed at night thinking that there's something between you and God. When you get up in the morning, You should get up with the attitude that you don't want to have anything between you and God. And if anything is there during the day, you want to know about it so you can repent of it. Repentance ought to be that sincere and that serious in our life. For some reason, we've allowed the devil to come into what we do as in repentance, and we've allowed him to convince us it's some kind of a dirty word. It's something that we ought to be embarrassed and ashamed of. It's something that we ought to just really flee from and hide from. We ought to be running to repentance. We ought to be running to God to have our lives changed so that we can be closer to him. That is the truthful experience that we have by knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now, we can't have that repentance unless we are redeemed. There is none other name under heaven by which man must be saved than Jesus Christ. None other. Folks can follow Muhammad if they want to, but he can't save them. Folks can follow Buddha if they want to, but he can't save them. Folks can follow any idol or any person if they want to, but they can't save them. Why can't they save them? Because those men are buried in a grave somewhere. Those men have a marked headstone somewhere, and they're still in the ground, they're still in the grave, but praise God, Jesus Christ was resurrected on the third day. He rose. Not a spirit, not a ghost. He physically rose. And then he ascended into heaven, where he sits at the Father's right hand, making intercession for those that know him. To have a truthful experience as a follower of Jesus Christ, we must be redeemed. If we are redeemed, if we are repentant, then there will be a revelation of our walk with God. A truly born-again child of God will share the truth. Now, I'm not talking about just walking around carrying the biggest, heaviest Bible that you can and hitting people over the head with it. That's not what I'm talking about. Your life, your daily life, should reveal Jesus Christ to those who do not know him. And that life, that walk that you have with the Lord should be so close that others don't just see it and recognize it, but others stop and take notice. They may not say, "I want what you've got." But if the power of God and the countenance of your life is so changed by Jesus Christ, when folks are in your presence, they're going to be cautious of what they do. They're going to be cautious of what they say. They're going to be cautious of everything going on around them because they know that they're in the presence of a born-again child of God, and they know that God the Holy Spirit is dwelling inside of them. It will be revealed in our lives and in our walk. Our very being will be a testimony, will be a witness that we are a follower of Jesus Christ. We see in our passage the example of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was an unknown person, really, to this generation. He came out of the wilderness. He came out of the desert preaching the coming of Jesus Christ. And yet, the power of God was so big upon him and so present in his life, everybody in the community, everybody that he ran into, everybody that he preached to, knew that there was something real about John the Baptist. They knew the message he was preaching was the truth, not because he was preaching it, because he wasn't a public figure. He wasn't a charismatic individual. He didn't have a big TV show. He didn't have a big radio ministry. He hadn't written 15 books. All he'd done was preach Jesus Christ. And the power of God done the difference. That made the difference in his testimony. It made the difference in his witness. The witness of a follower of Jesus Christ leads others to him. When I say leads others, that's exactly what I mean this morning. It leads others to Jesus Christ. It doesn't pull them. It doesn't push them. It leads them. When people see the difference that Jesus Christ makes in your heart and in your life, they may try to make themselves feel better by thinking about who you used to be, what you used to be. But it won't work. Because the power and the conviction of the Holy Spirit will touch them, will lead them, and will guide them to Jesus Christ. They will know, I don't know what he's got, but I need it. They may not want it, but they will know they need it. That should be the desire in our life. And folks, in light of what's happened this past week with the Supreme Court, it doesn't matter what they legalize. It doesn't matter. The Word of God says the followers of Jesus Christ, the witnesses of Jesus Christ, the John the Baptist of this day, are going to have a witness that will lead others to Jesus Christ. The only way we're going to lead them there is to pray for them, to love them, to care about them, to be concerned enough about them, to live a life before them that is convicting through the Holy Spirit, and to have our lives and have our being so set up, we're ready and we're able to talk to them about what Jesus done for us. And not just the same sex, folks. Anyone who is lost and undone without Jesus Christ this morning, it doesn't matter what the sin is. If Jesus Christ calls them to repentance and calls them to be redeemed, they can be saved. He will save them. He will save them. Well, lastly, the witness of a follower of Jesus Christ is an active person. Notice with me in verse 35. He was a burning and a shining light. Now, I don't know how you see that this morning, but when I read that, I had to stop there and I had to read over it 3 or 4 times. And the reason is not because I didn't get what it said. The reason was, can you imagine what a blessing it was in the life of John the Baptist to have the Son of God say that you are a burning and a shining light? Your message, your preaching, your life is so significant that it burns in the lives of others that are around. It's so significant that it's a light that leads others to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We ought to strive for that. We should want that in our lives. We should want to be that kind of influence on those that need Jesus this morning. John the Baptist was a shining beacon that could not be swayed away from the Lord. Now, John the Baptist wasn't a divine person. He was human. John the Baptist experienced human flaws. He had human emotions. But he always followed godly convictions. That's all that's asked of any of us. That we follow godly convictions and we do it obediently with a heart and with love and with compassion without compromise. That we lift up Jesus Christ and we strive to do that in everything that we do, everything that we say. Do our lives portray an active, working beacon that models the Word of God for others to see? How can you answer that question this morning about your life? It's something we need to walk away with and we need to be seriously contemplating today. We need to know what the answer is to that question. And then we need to come back and say that answer either lines up with what the Lord wants or it doesn't. And if it doesn't, then we need to be coming back in repentance and seeking a closer relationship and a closer walk with the Lord. Do we really and truly love the lost today? And I say that sincerely. Do we really and truly love the lost? I remember a time, and it hasn't been many decades ago, when the front pews of a church were called the mourner's bench. In this county, men would be preaching the Word of God. Men would be preaching the love of Jesus Christ. Men would be preaching salvation by grace through faith, redemption of the blood of Jesus Christ. We men would be preaching the consequences of hell, the benefits of heaven. And there would be people on these mourners' benches that would have loved ones that would be lost, that would have loved ones that were separated from God, that would have loved ones and friends and co-workers, and they would be weeping in tears, crying out to God for conviction on them. Where did that go? If we love the lost, where did that compassion go? The time and the day is here for the church to realize it's time to quit playing church and it's time to start being the church. And that has to start personally. That has to be a desire that comes from the heart of every born-again Christian. It may not be popular. It may not be profitable. It may not be prestigious. But it is powerful in God's Word. It is powerful in the moving of lives and souls. As I close this morning, I want to ask our musicians to come and get us a closing hymn together. And as they prepare this, I'm going to give you and leave you with a few closing thoughts. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, you also know you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Today, it is more important than ever before for the true born-again Christian to stand up and let the unsaved world know they follow Jesus Christ and that they stand on the Word of God. That they stand on it being inerrant and infallible. John the Baptist is an example of an unwavering, uncompromising Christianity. He's an example that we can learn from. If the life of John the Baptist is looked at correctly and observed in the Word of God, we're going to see some things. We're going to find faith. We're going to find determination. We're going to find courage. We're going to find obedience. We're going to see struggle, suffering. We're going to see contentment. And we're going to see life being victorious. All of these and many more identify the life of the man or woman who follows Jesus Christ today. I'm talking about the true follower of Jesus Christ. Someone whose heart really belongs. Books have been written that document the life of born-again Christians who have an unwavering faith. But all we really need is to follow the testimony of John the Baptist. To strive for our life to closely mimic his today. To have that walk with God that has us just that close, that He is seen present in our life, in our words, and in our deeds. The proposition that we leave with today can be stated in one question. Does my life provide witness of a follower of Jesus Christ? Only you can answer that. Only you and God have that answer individually. And this question is not answered just once and then archived for the rest of your natural life. The question is answered with every breath we take, every word we utter, every thought that we have, every decision that we make, and every action that we take. So as we answer that question this morning, think about all of that. Think about how it reflects back into your life. And then think about how it should reflect into your life this morning. How would the Lord want it to reflect in your life this morning? As if we're a follower of Jesus Christ today, our desire should be to please Him. Not to please another person. Not to please a denomination. Not to please anyone else, but to please Jesus Christ. To please Jesus Christ. This morning as we close, do you desire a stronger witness for your life? Do you desire a closer family life? Do you desire a peace and a contentment that passes all understanding? If you realize this or any other need in your life, the Lord is waiting and He is willing to receive you. So as we sing this morning, if God's dealing with your heart, will you come? Ladies.